of God. We're a people who honor God. We're a people that have a message. And it's a message of hope. And what I want to talk about this morning is sin. And when you hear that word, what happens in your mind? Right? Because sin has awful consequences. But for those who are in Jesus Christ, when we hear the word sin, we should hear good news. Because the primary purpose that Jesus Christ came to the earth was to deal with sin and its effects upon those who were of the seed of Adam. And God's word tells us some amazing things. And it speaks to us very, very clearly. But at times we don't live underneath the truth of God's word. Too often, a walk with the Lord as God's people is a walk of oppression, a walk of feelings, a walk where one day is good, 2 days are good, but the next day is not so good. And what we have with an enemy who we allow to oppress us, who we allow to rob us of the joy of our salvation in Jesus Christ, and who brings us constantly, seeks to bring us into a place of condemnation, a place where we're not at peace with God, at peace with ourselves, or where there's no real joy in our lives, right? And how he does that is through liars. And the reason why he gets away with it is because we don't declare God's word and what God's word says and to stand upon the truth of God's word. And in John 3 and verse 16, and you often see that if you go to Crow Park, you see these boards up with this up. And what does it mean? And it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Jesus came not to condemn the world, but he came to save the world at a tremendous, awesome, incredible, dreadful price. And it goes, sometimes we stop at that, but it goes on and it says, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whosoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." And then in Acts 4 and verse 12 it says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." Now the penalty of sin is death, judgment and hell. And that is the reality. Whether we want to joke with it, we want to laugh about it, we want to laugh about hell, we want to say it's a joke, the devil's a joke, what God says is not the truth. Well, believe you me, brothers and sisters, there is a hell. And the reason why Jesus Christ came was to save us from going to that place. God so loved us. And God was willing to pay the tremendous price he had to pay to save you and me from eternal damnation and hell. And it's a real place. And one day we will all die. And it depends on where we stand before God. Jesus suffered the penalty of death and judgment. He suffered the judgment of God upon sin. And he paid the price for your sin. But death couldn't hold him. Death could not keep a hold of Jesus. But believe you me, outside of Jesus Christ, death will keep a hold of you. It will not let you go. But in Christ, death has no hold over us. But sometimes when we look upon the cross, we see the cross in one dimensional, and it's this, that it's a sin penalty paid by Jesus Christ for our sins. And if we see only that one dimensional view of the cross, we miss what the cross is all about. We miss the deepest meaning of the cross. And the deepest meaning of the cross is God's love for us. And if we look at sin, sin is a state of alienation. It's us being separated from God. No fellowship with God. In darkness, and the Bible says we are dead in our trespasses and our sins. And it's our relationship with God is broken because of sin. And when we look at sin, how does sin affect God? Is he sitting there as a righteous, holy God in judgment, condemning sinners? You have offended me. You've broken my laws. You have cursed me. You've spit in my face. You put my son on the cross. I shed my blood. Is God sitting there as a righteous God of judgment and saying, you're condemned? The cross doesn't say that, because sin is wounding the very heart of God. And that's what sin does. It wounds the very heart of God. It pains the heart of God. And in Genesis 6 and verse 5, it says, The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man, and his heart was filled with pain. Now that word grieved means it's a distress, it's a depth of distress, it's sorrow that goes deep into the heart. And God's heart was wounded. He knew pain because of our separation from him because of sin. And then we see this in all of its fullness, of the pain that God felt, of the depth of his pain. We see it in the fullness of the cross, and we see it in the manner of the death of Jesus Christ. And believe you me, look at the life of Jesus. Look at the heart cry to his Father. And God is not a God of no feelings. God felt that deeply within his heart. He felt the pain of it. He felt the distress of it. And his answer back to us, even in our rebellion, is a message of love, not of condemnation. And that's hugely important. We understand that Jesus came not to condemn the world around you, but to save the world. And as Jesus, when he was on the earth, he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your chickens together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you are not willing. You are not willing. And you know, God's cry to this sin-sick world is a cry of love, a cry of a message, a cry of hope, a cry of salvation, that God cries out to the sons of Adam, to each one of us, that the time is coming, death is coming, judgment is coming, and God is telling us, get into the strong tower, get into the Savior, get into Jesus Christ, where you will be saved. And you know, God's word says God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. It's not God's heart that any should perish. It's not his heart. His heart is that all should be saved and all should come to a knowledge of the truth. Romans 5 and verse 8, it says, but God demonstrates his own love in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we see the deepest meaning of the cross is not just a total payment by Jesus for all of our sins, and he paid the full price. But the fullest meaning of the cross is reconciliation. God wants to be reconciled with you and me. He wants to come and embrace us in his love. He wants us to know of his fatherhood. He wants us to know how much we love him. And the deepest meaning of the cross is reconciliation and love. The payment of the penalty of sin was a means of bringing that about. But the deepest meaning of this cross, of the death of Jesus Christ, is God's love for you. And the word brings about, God so loved the world. And God's heart is incredible. Longing of God is to be reconciled with us. No longer would sin keep us from his love and his fatherhood, but he found a way that seemed impossible, and that was through the death of his son, Jesus Christ, so that he could become our father, and that he could embrace us, he could love us, he could care for us. And what we find then is after we are saved, I always find this incredible, that after we're saved, when we come to the cross, we come naked before God in our sin. And, you know, we give our lives, we open up our heart to Jesus Christ, and God comes into our life. And what happens after we are saved, it's an amazing journey. But for a lot of us, when we come to the cross, our sin is dealt with. The Bible says that absolutely clearly. The full payment of sin was paid by Jesus Christ at the cross. And when we go on the other side of the cross, where we're saved and God is in our life and God is our Father and God cares for us and God loves for us, we go on a journey of condemnation. We go on a journey of oppression. We allow the enemy to come in and constantly disrupt our relationship with God through lies, oppression, through fear, through intimidation. We all know what it's like. And what we find a lot of the time, that the joy we should know as Christians is constantly robbed from us. And how do we deal with that? We deal with through God's word. Because when we come to Jesus Christ and we're saved, things happen to us. The first thing, we become sensitive to sin. Because now God is our Father, we have the Holy Spirit living in us, so we become sensitized to sin. And if we don't know how to handle that, the devil takes huge advantage of that to oppress us. And what we find in our Christian life is we're constantly battling with sin, we're constantly battling with the guilt of sin, we're constantly battling with the effects of sin, but it was dealt with at the cross. And God actually says that to us. And we come in and we our heads are down, and we have a message of hope. We have a message of joy. We have a message of freedom. But when we're in Jesus Christ, we are sensitive to sin. We are much more aware of it. We know the effects of it, and you know, we know what it does. Now, how do we deal with that again? When you become sensitive to sin when you become a Christian, you must understand the power of the blood. And you must understand, how does the blood operate in our lives? Is it when we come to Jesus Christ that we are cleansed and washed clean, and that's the end of it? The Bible talks about the eternal blood of the Lamb. The eternal blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus Christ is active in your life every day, every minute, from the time you come to Jesus. And the Bible says incredible things about us. It says we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God, and God now lives in us. But we see ourselves that we're not pure, we're not righteous. So how can this holy God live in us? And he lives in us because the blood is active. The blood never leaves this temple. It never not stops cleansing us and having an effect every moment of the day. And it's called the eternal blood of the Lamb. And we need to understand these things, or otherwise the devil has a field day with us. And we don't know peace with ourselves, and we don't know peace with God. It's an up and down yo-yo experience. And we can know peace with God every day. Even when sin comes knocking on our door, even if we're overcome for a time, because the blood is active, it's eternal. It's at work every moment of the day and the week and the months ahead. And the reason why the Bible, if you look at this, talks about the eternal blood of the Lamb, our past sins, our present and our future, because the blood is outside the time. The blood is eternity. It has effect through eternity. And it's ever at work. And we can see that with some of the great men in the Bible. The Apostle Peter one time, he said to the Lord, "Lord, depart from me because I'm a man full of sin." And he knew who he was. But when revelation came to him, when he understood of the depth and the price and the inheritance we have in Jesus Christ, you see Peter grown in his faith. And Paul was able to say, "I'm the worst of sinners. I'm the worst of sinners." And he talks about this battle that he has with sin. He talks about the things I want to do, I can't do. He talks about this power at work within him. And he says of himself, "In and of my own strength, I cannot handle this. I cannot overcome it. Sin is too powerful for me. I find I don't have the strength to be able to fight it off or overcome it." And he says, "Who can help me?" And he says, "Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ." And that's where the truth lies. We are in Christ. We are redeemed by Christ. And the blood of Jesus Christ is ever active before God in our lives. Ever active. Now, another thing that we do, which I find incredible, is when we come to the Lord as Christians, we get into rules and regulations. How you should live your life, what you should do, what you shouldn't do, what you should dress, how you should dress, rules and regulations. And God's heart is for us to have a relationship with him. The Christian life is not rules and regulations, don'ts and do not. I lived under that for a period of time. It's called legalism. And it's a horrible situation to be in, because you're trying by self-effort, and you know the pressure of other people to live under rules and that God never called you to live under in the first place. God calls you for a relationship with him, a love relationship. And he's put his Holy Spirit in you, and he will lead you into all truth. And God actually says in Isaiah 29 and verse 13, it says, the Lord says, "These people come near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men." Now, I know when I was under legalism, I didn't have a relationship with God. I had a relationship with rules and regulations, and it killed me for a time. Always trying to live up to what other people told me I should be living as a Christian. Always feeling guilty, never good enough, never doing enough, never this, never that, never this. And it becomes such a weight and a burden that just pressures you down. There's no freedom in it. And God doesn't call us into that relationship. God calls us into a relationship of love and freedom. God calls you into be who you are, not through what someone else says you should be. This is what I think a Christian should be. And sometimes when I read some of the books that's out there, and people are pressurizing you into what they say, this is what a Christian should be. Be yourself. Love God. Love your neighbor. That is the royal law of God. Is to love God and love. And if you do that, everything else falls into place. It's not about rules and regulations and how you dress and how you don't dress. And now, if we don't understand these things, and we don't get a hold of these things, I'm telling you, we live in condemnation. You live in condemnation, and I know it. And it says in Ephesians 2 and verse 8, it is by grace. Grace is the free gift of God. And it's not just the free gift of salvation. It's the free gift of the eternal blood of the Lamb to cleanse you every moment of the day. It's the free gift of His Holy Spirit. It's the free gift of His promises. It's the free gift of His very life given to you to live within you. But we then come to the cross, come to the free gift that is ours in Jesus Christ, given to us, we're saved, and then we bring works into salvation, works into grace. And it's amazing how many Christians do that, start the walk with the Lord on works. I have to please God. I have to do this to earn the favor of God. I have to work harder. I have to do this. It becomes a gospel of works and not of grace. I'm not good enough before God. I'm not holy enough. Maybe if I fast and pray more, maybe I read my Bible more, I will make myself more pleasing to God, more acceptable to God. And that is a huge error. And it brings you into condemnation, because you will never live up to the standards you are trying to set yourself by your own strength. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. And God has made provision for us. And in Ephesians 2 and verse 8 it says, for it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And true faith means we believe what God says to us. We take it, we believe it, we say, Father, I believe what you're saying. I accept what you're saying, and I'm going to walk in that truth. It's a true faith, and this not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, not by works, so that none can boast. None of us can boast. I can't get up here and say, my life is more righteous than yours. I'm more holier. I'm an elder in this church. I have a great knowledge of the Bible. I don't do this, I don't do that. My life is very clean. It's rubbish. It's absolute rubbish. It's the greatest rubbish. I depend on Christ and the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ to keep me in the position that God says He will keep me in. And the position He says He keeps me in is in holiness and righteousness. And we see that in the Word, that our righteousness and holiness is in who? Is it in ourselves? It's not in ourselves. It's in Jesus Christ. It's in Christ. And listen, in this church, let's get a hold of that. Let's really start, not just saying these things, but really start believing them. Because when you really start letting the Word of God get into you, it's living and active. And when you start by faith crying to God, Father, give me revelation of your Word. Open my eyes so I may see the truth, Lord. You grant me peace. You grant me freedom. You grant me righteousness and holiness. Father, open my eyes so I may see these truths. It's not intellectual. We don't come, and I don't come and say, right, if I quote this 1,000 times, I'm righteous in Christ, I'm righteous in Christ, I will come to believe it. It doesn't work that way. We have the Holy Spirit who will lead us into all truth. And what we say is we cry from our hearts saying, Father, lead me into the truth of your Word. Lead me into the truth of these tremendous promises, tremendous sayings that you have said to me. And God does it. I remember when I was a young Christian and I went through all these struggles and I used to go into the presence of God and I used to beat myself up going in. Thought I was pleasing God. Father, I'm nothing. Father, I'm a sinner. Father, forgive me for my sins, Lord. Lord, I'm no good. Lord, I'm this and I'm that and I'm this and I'm that. And one day the Holy Spirit, like an audible voice, said to me, do not do that. And He caught my attention. And He says, do not do that. God says, what you're doing is you're dishonoring the cross of Jesus Christ. Because you are not nobody. You're not a scumbag. You're not a piece of dirt. You are a son of God. Now get up and stand up as a son of God in the inheritance that you have in Jesus Christ. And my whole theology changed from that day on. Changed completely. God, the revelation of the Holy Spirit came. And from I stepped from this place of condemnation, putting myself down, thinking I was nothing. And I had every reason to think that. My life in the past was a life of darkness, the same as everyone else. But I stepped off that ground onto the ground of grace in Jesus Christ. And my whole walk with God completely changed. Now, if we look, there's a sin in the Bible, you know. And the reason why I'm going to share this, because sometimes when I do be talking with some Christians, and it's very sad, and the devil can come and catch them. There's a sin in the Bible that's unforgivable. And you know, the Word of God actually says that. There's a sin that cannot be forgiven. And you know, if the devil can come and trip you up, and he can say to you, you know, you've committed that sin. And you might say, that's impossible, but I've seen Christians in this position, tormented, believing that they have committed the unforgivable sin. And what is the unforgivable sin? Jesus talked about it and just spoke in Mark 3 and verses 28 to 29. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, all the sins and blasphemies of man will be forgiven them. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an eternal sin. That's extremely serious. And when we see something like that, we should take notice immediately, because what the Lord is saying, whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an eternal sin. And that means that the blood of Jesus Christ, that the death of Jesus Christ, that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ has no effect there. So we need to know what the Word of God is saying here to us. And the Word of God is saying here, and you need to understand this, it's nothing got to do with any particular sin that you commit of the flesh. Absolutely nothing got to do with it in any shape or form. When you look at this, what Jesus is talking about is that those who hear the cry of God, those who hear God calling to their hearts and offering them his son, and God saying, salvation can be yours this day. You can know me as your Father. You can know your sins forgiven. You can know my life within you. And you, when you do that, you are rescued from hell. You're rescued from the power of death. So what it means, this sin, when we're talking about it, is the unforgivable sin is where we reject Jesus Christ as our Savior and as our Lord. Where God comes and offers us, because there is no other salvation. In Acts it says, there's no other name in under heaven and earth that we may be saved by, but by the name of Jesus Christ. There is no other Savior outside of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. You can go wherever spiritual trip you want to go on and believe whatever you want to believe. But the truth is, there's one Savior and one Savior only, and that's Jesus Christ. And your eternal destiny depends on whether you reject him or whether you accept him. And some people might say, that's a bit heavy. You're pressurizing people. You're intimidating people. Listen, the truth is the truth. And that is the truth. And if you feel the pressure of it, if you feel intimidated, but I have to say to you, I'm glad you are. Because at least it's making you think. Because there is a pressure. Because the pressure is what decision you make for Jesus Christ or not for Jesus Christ. God has one plan. And God paid an incredible price for your salvation. It's not a joke. This cross up here, the death of his son, is not something to be laughed at or joked about. And believe you me, God will not be mocked. And where we stand in our life, we have the choice of salvation or not salvation. Because the penalty of sin is death. And who's going to pay the penalty? Am I going to pay it? Or is Christ going to pay it? And you have to make that choice. Do I pay the penalty? Or do I let Jesus Christ pay the penalty? And I made the decision. I'm glad I made it. And I think anyone who doesn't make it, I think they're mad. But apart from that, I made the decision that I was going to let Jesus Christ pay the penalty. And by making that decision, I received tremendous benefits. I received an incredible inheritance in Jesus Christ. And why? Because God loves me. And I put that earlier on, that the deepness of the cross is it's not just about sin. Sin was the obstacle. Sin was the barrier. Sin was what kept us separated from God. And God is a holy God. He's holy. And he can never be in the presence of sin that's not judged. Now listen to that very carefully. He can never be in the presence of sin that's not judged. So he's able to dwell within us, even though we have the old nature that's at war with us at times. But God can never be in the presence of sin that's not judged. For in us, by the blood of Jesus Christ, all our sins have been judged and the price has been paid for them. And that's tomorrow, that's next week, that's a year from now, it's 10 years, wherever long you are on this earth. Your sins have been judged and God can dwell within you every day. Every day. Every moment of the day. And that's a tremendous truth. And it gets us out where the enemy comes and he wrecks our head with, you're not worthy. And how many times, I don't go on about this, how many times when we come to Jesus, and the word is absolutely clear, I come to Jesus Christ, and all my sins are paid for. Total. And I start my walk with him. But 10 years down the road, I'm delivering this out of me, delivering that out of me, delivering this out of me. That shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. And one thing you can't do, you can't deliver out the flesh. And it's always going to be us, the old nature. It's always going to be there, and it's always going to be a war between you and it. Because it wants, because it doesn't want the things of God. It wants, you know the things of darkness. But we've the Holy Spirit in us. We've the blood of Jesus in us. So we conquer the flesh. What did the Bible say? The Bible says, put to death the flesh by the Spirit. So we need to understand these things, or otherwise we're on a journey where it's a million miles away from the truth of God's word. All our thinking is just confused. All our thinking is trying to get ourselves right with God. Trying, if I get this dealt with, I'll try and get right with God. And it's amazing how many of us end up in that position. And that was my early Christian life. A life of never really understanding my position in Jesus Christ. And when I came to that, not by intellectual self-effort, but by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, which I shared earlier on, things changed. And that's what I have to say. And what I have to say is, we've a message. And our message is this. Sin has horrific consequences. And we see it all around us. We see it in our own lives. We see it in our neighbours. We see it all around. The Bible says he comes to rob, kill and destroy. And we look around us. We see young people killing themselves. Young people putting drugs into their body. And you just see their lives being destroyed. And he's a destroyer. And he comes to destroy your life. And he will do it if you let him. And the only power that he cannot overcome is the power of God in Jesus Christ. And you know that the devil is nothing to Jesus Christ. I mean, I have to really, Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. He shattered the power of the enemy. He rose up to every rank. I don't want to go into that, to every rank of spiritual power. And he is Lord of all and King of kings, and every knee shall bow before him. When we are in Jesus Christ, when we have the Spirit of God in us, greater is he that is in us than he is in the world. And that is the truth. Once we understand that it's not by self-effort, it's not by yours trying to make ourselves righteous, but it's by yours living in the truth of God's word, by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Not, as I said earlier on, trying to convince ourselves intellectually. I declare it 100 times. I declare it 1,000 times. Declare it 1,000,000 times, and you'll still be declaring 1,000,000 times afterwards. Because it's by the revelation of the Holy Spirit of God. This is a living word. It's not dead. It's not intellectually where we get it intellectually. It's by the revelation of the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. And what I just want to pray now. And so I'd ask us just, you know, to close our eyes if we can, just to give people privacy. I don't know where everyone is at in this place, but God does. And nothing is hidden from God. Your life is not hidden from God. Your heart's not hidden from God. And what I would say to you, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you have a choice. And the choice is you can accept him as your Savior and Lord, or you can say no. And what I would ask you, that if you want to know this Savior, if you want to be reconciled with God, if you want God to come into your life, if you want to experience the love of God, what I would say to you, I'm not going to ask you to pray, what I would say to you, in your own heart, you just tell God, I want to be reconciled with you. I want to come into a relationship with you. I want my sins forgiven. I want the new life that you say I can have in your Holy Spirit. And what I would say to you, if you do that, God's going to come into your life. And there's no surer thing. God will come into your life, because that's the promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And that whosoever might be you, and if it is you, God is waiting for you to open your heart to him.